It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And I wanted to find out about the data and analytics for all the players that the Jets drafted and all the guys they signed as undrafted free agents, because it helps a lot in terms of figuring out who's going to make the team, who might get some playing time. And it's a different perspective because we look at the film, we look at the stats, but this is a different way to look at some players that I'm sure a lot of the front offices are looking at. And it's a good way to keep perspective on who these guys really are. So, of course, we bring back our friend. He comes on the show at least twice a year to talk about the data and analytics before the draft. And then we talk about it after the Jets pick the players that they get. And that, of course, is my friend Jim Coburn. Jim, thanks so much for coming back on, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on as well.
So let's talk about this, Jim, because you have the only data and analytics draft guide that's available, and it's been that way for quite a few years. And if you haven't gotten yourself a copy yet, go ahead and do that. We'll tell you more about how you can do it at the end of the show. Let's start with Zach Wilson. The last time you were on, you talked about him a little bit, but now that we know he's the Jets pick, talk a little bit more about the data and analytics you have on him.
Well, in terms of Zach Wilson, he has a very good production score. He had an 89 out of 100 percentile score out of every single quarterback since the 1958 NFL draft class. All the multiple All-Pro, the vast majority, I should say, of the multiple All-Pro quarterbacks in that time span had at least an 89 or higher career production score for him. So those are good marks. And when I looked at the overall selection in the first round, quarterbacks who tested like him from a production standpoint have about a 64% chance of success, which is higher than the average success rate long-term of about 54%. So it's above average. So basically you have above average chance of hitting at that pick. But the only real question mark with Zach Wilson comes down to being only a one-year starter. You know, he only had one full year of starts at BYU. And when you look at the quarterbacks over the last, since 1958, there's really hasn't been that many first-round quarterbacks with only 1 year worth of experience that went on to become very successful NFL quarterbacks. When you look at the list of guys, you can really count them on your hand. You have Cam Newton, Mitch Trubisky, Burt Jones, Dwayne Haskins, and Kyler Murray. And we can say definitively that Cam Newton, of course, was a successful option. Burt Jones went on to become a starting NFL quarterback. And Kyler Murray, of course, has had some success in the NFL. But that's the only real question mark with Zach Wilson. Is I know a lot of people looked at him during the draft process and said like he looked like he was going to prom and you know all those other kind of jokes. But he looks as inexperienced as he is on the field. And that's the only sort of question mark with a guy like Zach Wilson is the lack of experience. The lack of game time experience in college, because I understand a lot of people are like, hey, get to the NFL, you know, get that paycheck. But when you're talking about the quarterback position, you need a lot of experience. You need a lot of snaps under center. You're going to make mistakes. And I'll just say this much. It's a lot easier to make mistakes in college than it is in the NFL, because as we've seen with guys like Mitch Trubisky, like guys like Dwayne Haskins, you're on a much shorter leash in terms of making mistakes at the NFL level versus the college level. So that's the only sort of question mark with Zach Wilson. I think he does have a good chance to be a starter at the next level, but there is that question mark of a lack of game experience because he only had one full year of starts at BYU.
Jim, if he's going to be successful, he's going to need guys that are up front blocking for him at a high level. And so to that end, they traded up from number 23 to number 14 to grab Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard slash tackle from USC. Everybody assumes he'll play guard at the next level, right next to Mekhi Becton on the left side of the line. There's been a lot of chatter that maybe the Jets overpaid a little bit for this pick. If you look at the draft value chart, I've said that it's okay to overpay a tad. I think the value was an extra late fourth rounder, which is no big deal if you're getting a guy that you consider a blue chip prospect at a position that you really want and need. What do your data and analytics say about Elijah Vera Tucker? Was it worth it for the Jets to make this move?
Well, in terms of a historical perspective, he had a 92% success rate. So when you look at all the guards, or offensive tackles that were taken in the first round with his athleticism traits, he had about a 90 overall athleticism score and actually had an 88.13 explosion score, which is probably the best aspect of his athleticism. But again, when you look at all those guards and tackles with that athleticism, you have about a 92% chance of having a long-term starter. And out of all the Jets draft picks this year, he probably has the best statistical chance of becoming a long-term starter to above average player. So I feel like that was a good pick for them. In terms of the whole draft capital side of things, I'm actually going to try to work on my own draft value chart just because I feel like I don't want to make everything into a science here, but I feel like certain times you have to look at the picks, you have to look at the players that you're taking. And I feel like, again, if you spend all that draft capital and selected like a wide receiver, most wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks in the first round have a much less success rate compared to positions like offensive line, defensive line, and DBs, that kind of thing. So the fact that you traded up and you've got a very great athlete in Elijah Vera Tucker, and also kind of hits that area you're looking for in terms of success, I feel like that's worth it. If you're going to give up draft capital to increase your chances of hitting on the pick, then I think that that's a great pick overall for the Jets, if you think about it from that perspective.
Very interesting way to think about it, Jim, and I completely agree with you. I think the new draft value chart is a good idea, and if you want to see it once Jim has it done, make sure that you subscribe to his Patreon. Again, we'll tell you about how to do that later on in the show. But before we get to that, let's talk Elijah Moore. The Jets got Elijah Vera Tucker at number 14. They got another Elijah at 34, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. I've been blown away by his tape. Do the data and analytics match what you see when you look at his game tape?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at his production data, he had an 88 percentile market share production score since the 1969 NFL draft class. And when you look at that in context of every single Pro Bowl, All-Pro, starting wide receiver, backup wide receiver, when you look at in that context, the vast majority of All-Pro wide receivers had at least an 88 or higher production score from a market share production standpoint, which just means the share of his impact in the offense. So if you take, 1,000 receiving yards and divide it by the team total, which is, say, 4,000 passing yards, that's about 25%. But when you look at Elijah Moore's overall production data, you're looking at a guy that has elite production. When you look at his athleticism traits, he has elite flexibility for his size. He has a high 90 percentile in terms of the short shuttle and three cone for his size, has above average speed. And I think in terms of a comparison standpoint, I think the higher end for him as an athlete is Lee Evans. I know it's probably a wide receiver that some Jets fans are familiar with, the former Buffalo Bills wide receiver. And again, this is just him as an athlete. It's not a stylistic comparison. And then kind of on the lower end would probably be Brandon Cooks, just because Brandon Cooks had a below-average explosion score, which Elijah Moore also has a below-average explosion score. But overall, this is another one of the better picks for them. When I graded the Jets in day one and day two, so when I just kind of looked at the three picks they took, they aced it. And I think those are the most important rounds to hit on when you're talking about the draft. Day one and day two, those are the rounds where you're going to have a much higher chance of hitting on players just from a statistical standpoint. And I think the three players they took put them in good position to be one of the better draft classes because of those three picks.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's move on to the fourth pick that the Jets made in this draft, and that was the running back Michael Carter out of UNC, a player that many didn't think would be available at number 107. What do the data and analytics say? Was he the type of value that we all think that he was in the fourth round?
Yes, Michael Carter, and again, another guy that in terms of his athleticism traits, you know, he had a 90-plus percentile flexibility score, above average speed. And in terms of athletically speaking, he is sort of like a slower version of Ray Rice, athletically speaking, with the production of a Kendall Hunter, who is probably another player some people might be familiar with. But the only real issue with Michael Carter is his production was not elite, but definitely good enough to be considered a Pro Bowl long-term starting running back. And I think overall, when you're talking about taking running backs, you need to take running backs that have above average athleticism traits. Based on all the data that I've done, 95% of multiple All-Pro and Pro Bowl running backs have at least one 80 percentile or higher athleticism trait. So when you take a guy like Michael Carter, yes, the production isn't exactly where you want it to be. And a lot of that was because he was splitting time, of course, with Javonte Williams at North Carolina. But when you look at it from that perspective, I think Michael Carter is a good bet just because of having that elite athleticism trait and flexibility, and also, which again is more so with balance, and also having a really great age score as well. He's one of the younger running backs as well. So I feel like from that perspective, Michael Carter is a really good pick for the Jets. He really kind of helps them out, kind of flesh out their draft class in day three.
After the Michael Carter pick, the Jets decided to go all defense, and they started in the fifth round with Jamie and Sherwood, the defensive back / linebacker out of Auburn. We assume he's probably going to be a bit of a hybrid, play a little bit of box safety, play a little bit of will linebacker. What did the data and analytics say?
Well, this is one of the picks that didn't really do so well for the Jets. When you look at Jamie and Sherwood, he had above average explosion testing for his size, but he had below average speed and below average flexibility for his size. And his production was also suspect. When you look at a guy like this, you're looking at a player who is explosive off the ball, but does not have the speed or the flexibility to really move well in space. So as you said, he's going to be a guy that you want to keep in the box. Maybe have him as like a nickel guy in kind of like run situations, but he's really limited athletically. He's probably one of those players that in this particular draft class where he is very much limited athletically to only certain situations. And again, the production isn't exactly where you want it to be either in terms of his overall data profile. So while I do think he can be used in certain situations, you know, special teams, that kind of thing, I don't see the value beyond that just because of the lack of speed and the lack of flexibility for his size.
Hopefully you have a different evaluation of Michael Carter II. Yes, they took another Michael Carter, this one a defensive back out of Duke. What do the data and analytics say about him?
Yeah, Michael Carter II, a better overall eval on him. Brandon Merriweather, athlete, when you look at him having a below average explosion, but having above average speed for his size with slightly below average flexibility. I mean, the general thing with him that I like from a data perspective is his production. He had a great interception market share production score, a great pass deflection market share production score. Those are the marks you're typically looking for in a free safety. You're looking for a guy that can make plays in the backfield, essentially. And you're looking for guys that are able to make plays on the ball. You know, kind of be that ball hawking type safety. And he has all those numbers for that. The only real question mark with him is, like Brandon Merriweather, his short shuttle is slower than his 40. And whenever you're talking about that type of situation, you're looking at a guy that might also have some athletic limitations, just a guy who may not be able to flip his hips as well in certain situations. But again, when you look at where he was selected, again, this is a fifth round pick. This is the 154th player selected. You can deal with that. So I again, if this was a first rounder, you can kind of go, but since he's a guy that, again, is a fifth-round pick, a guy that has the production of a starting safety, has the athleticism traits you're looking for in a starting safety. So, yes, he may have some issues in coverage in certain situations, but I think overall you're getting a guy that could end up being a starter for you in decent all-around value.
Speaking of decent all-around value, the Jets took another defensive back. It took a lot of them here on day number three. Jason Pinnock, the cornerback from Pittsburgh. Really good athletic profile from what I could tell. I'm not so sure about the production. What did the data and analytics say?
Well, he's another guy that, in terms of athletically, like you said, he has elite explosion for his size. He had a 95 percentile explosive lower body strength score. He had above average speed and also had near elite flexibility for his size. So he has all the athleticism traits you're looking for in terms of like a Pro Bowl all-pro cornerback. But yes, in terms of the production, doesn't quite hit all the marks you're looking for at the position. But is it bad? Again, this is a big thing. When you're talking about taking a guy in day three, you know, most of these guys, I mean, statistically speaking, you're talking about like a 28% to 22% success rate at defensive back when you're talking about taking them in the fifth round. If you don't quite have the guys you're looking for athletically speaking or production-wise, take the guy that's a great athlete. I mean, you might be able to get something out of that. We've seen cornerbacks that did not really have the production you're looking for but had all the athleticism traits that went on to become really great cornerbacks at the next level, really starting level cornerbacks at the next level. So I think that that's a good pick just from the perspective of taking a good athlete who may not work out because of his production. But if you're able to get him with the right defensive back coach, you could end up winning in the long run just because of his athleticism traits.
The next pick was number 186. And I got to say, this to me was the most intriguing one of these defensive players. And that's Hamza Nasrullahdeen, the defensive back from Florida State, also dabbles at linebacker. So kind of like Sherwood, we might see him as a box safety and a little bit of will linebacker. From what I understand about him, he was really good and very productive until he had that ACL injury. Only played two games in 2020. But if he's healthy, he could be a steal here at 186. Is that what the data and analytics say?
Yes. When you look at his athleticism traits, he looks like Micah Hyde, but of course does not really have the production of Micah Hyde just because he had that issue, you know, the ACL tear. But again, if he's healthy, if he gets back to the form that he had, you're looking at a guy who can become a potential starter for you. So, you know, just from an athleticism standpoint, he has the traits you're looking for in a starting safety from an athletic standpoint. You just have to wonder, again, if he's 100% healthy, how he translates. So he's another guy that you took a bet on. And in this case, again, he doesn't have elite athleticism, but he does have the profile of a starting safety in terms of his athleticism traits.
In the sixth round of pick number 200, the Jets grab Brandon Echols, cornerback out of Kentucky. Kelvin Joseph, the other cornerback from Kentucky, went in the second round. So not quite the prospect that Joseph is. But what did the data and analytics say about Mr. Echols?
In terms of Echols, he's the same situation as Jason Pinnock. Elite explosion testing, above average speed, and above average flexibility for his size. I love this pick just because when I look at this selection, I see the Jets going in a certain direction. You know, they may not have figured everything out yet, but when you look at this team taking cornerbacks who have a similar athleticism profile, again, they're not taking terrible athletes in day three that are most likely going to end up become, you know, a backup or a reserve type guy. They're taking bets on athletes. And when you take bets on athletes, you tend to come out on top, especially when you're talking about day three. So I like Echols from that perspective. Production-wise, he also had a very good production score in terms of solo tackle data. It was in the 90-plus percentile. His pass deflection data was below average. You know, most of the time when you're talking about cornerbacks that have below average pass deflection data, you're talking about cornerbacks that can be starters for you, but don't necessarily have that elite ball hawking traits at 100%. But I like this pick just because you're taking a guy who is a great athlete, has decent production, a little older, but I would not be surprised if Brandon Echols became some type of long-term starter, whether as a nickel cornerback or ended up being, the second cornerback, basically like a number two cornerback for you guys.
The final pick for the Jets in the draft at number 207 was Jonathan Marshall, a defensive lineman from Arkansas. Now, that is one position that on paper the Jets don't really need, but this is a guy who was a team captain, athletically tested off the charts, and actually had some production, 6.5 sacks at Arkansas. So if you look at it from that perspective, seems like he could be a real bargain. Do the data and analytics back up that assertion?
Well, again, you're right about the athleticism, Marks. Again, you're talking about a guy, 90-plus percentile explosion testing, 90-plus percentile in terms of speed for his size, and production-wise, above-average solo tackle data, above-average sack data, below-average tackle for loss data. But this fits the narrative, again, where the Jets are taking players. Again, when you look at the entire day three, you're looking at a guy like Michael Carter, elite flexibility for his size. You look at a guy like Jamien Sherwood, elite explosion, not elite explosion, but above average explosion for his size. Michael Carter II, above average speed. You know, Jason Pinnock and Brandon Echols, of course, had great athleticism overall, and then Jonathan Marshall, great athleticism overall. So while the production traits don't exactly reach 100% all the marks you're looking for, they are at least taking chances on these athletes here. And that's why I really like the Jonathan Marshall pick from that perspective, is you're taking a guy that athletically speaking could be like an Albert Haynesworth type, you know, in terms of his explosion speed testing. And just like Albert Haynesworth was not the most productive guy in college, you know. And again, I'm not trying to say that Jonathan Marshall is going to kind of blow up and then, you know, take $100 million from the Jets and then kind of dip out. But I do think that he's a guy that has the traits you're looking for at the position and is good enough. Again, on paper, doesn't have elite production, but does have enough production to make you interested in him. And I think that that's why he's a great pick for, again, for the sixth round. I mean, when you're talking about the sixth round, you're talking about like a 20% chance of hitting on these picks, typically speaking, if not less so at positions like quarterback and running back. You know, quarterback is about 8%. So you're doing pretty good when you're taking a guy like Jonathan Marshall in the sixth round.
So it makes sense to follow along that pattern that the Jets would continue to take elite athletes or guys that display certain elite athletic traits. And that tended to be what they were looking to do on day three with all those defensive players. And then you get to the undrafted free agents and one of the hot names, somebody that a lot of people are anticipating coming in here and battling for playing time right off the bat, is Kenny Yeboah, the tight end out of Ole Miss. Only 1 year at Ole Miss. Before that, he played at Temple, but pretty good production this past year at Ole Miss. Did the testing numbers match up what we saw with the statistics?
Well, in terms of Kenny Yeboah, he has about 60 percentile in terms of his production score, which is starter level, and has average athleticism for his overall profile. So I would not necessarily say that Kenny Yeboah is going to come into camp and just rocket to the top of the Jets starting tight ends, but he is enough on paper to consider him a potential starter. So again, from that perspective, again, you're not getting a special tight end. I mean, you rarely ever do when you're talking about UDFAs, but you are getting a guy that has a good chance to become a starter, and I think that's why he's a good UDFA pickup just from that perspective.
Anytime you could get a guy that has even the least bit of starting potential as an undrafted free agent, that is a move well worth making. And another player who might fit into that category is Hamilcar Rashid Jr., the edge rusher from Oregon State. Really fascinating kid because he had two really strong years of production, and then this past year completely fell off. Some people think he might have been hurt. There were others that have said that he was asked to do a bunch of things that he wasn't comfortable with, and that when he's asked to just attack the quarterback, that's when he's at his best. What do the data and analytics say about Hamilcar Rashid Jr.?
Well, yeah, he probably, out of all the UDFAs the Jets picked up, he's probably the best one from a data perspective. He had elite production, elite explosion / speed testing. Did not have the best flexibility testing. You know, when you look at his short shuttle and three cone, not exactly where you want to be. But in terms of his athleticism, he tested like Joey Porter, another guy who had great explosion testing, great speed testing, did not quite have the flexibility. But I think that that's what you're looking for in Hamilcar Rashid Jr. If he can get in the right system to really utilize his explosion and speed and kind of work on his flexibility to a certain extent, and a lot of that has to do with balance. You know, when it comes to flexibility testing, you're talking about a guy that's able to keep his feet and get to the quarterback. But if he can work on those things, you've got a guy that could potentially be a starting edge for you guys. You know, basically that rush outside linebacker type with upside to be a potential Pro Bowler. Honestly, in terms of, even though he has poor flexibility, he does have the traits you're looking for in terms of explosion, speed, and production that are indicative of a potential Pro Bowl player. So I would say, again, ceiling-wise, you're looking at a guy that, again, pie in the sky, you're looking at a Pro Bowler, but if you're looking more so of where he is, you're looking at, again, a really good contributor on your defense to impact the quarterback.
And again, if you can get a really good contributor on your defense to help impact the opposing quarterback, that is a fantastic add as an undrafted free agent. So we'll see if that's what Hamilcar Rashid Jr. ends up being. Jim, two local guys were signed here by the Jets. Defensive lineman Michael Dwumfor from Rutgers, and then also his teammate Brendan White, the safety from Rutgers. What do the data and analytics say about those two?
Well, in terms of them, I would say in terms of, you know, the defensive tackle and Michael, good athlete for his size. Production-wise was okay. And Brendan White, slow safety traits, but does have good flexibility for his size. You know, got good balance. He's kind of the prototypical, I hate to say it, but slow safety type. You know, you're the ha-ha Clinton Dix type. You know, the guy that, again, if he's in the right scheme, he's a guy that can make plays. He's gonna keep his feet, but he's not exactly going to be an elite safety for you. So I think in terms of those picks, those are kind of homer picks to a certain extent. Again, you know, Rutgers guys, but I do think that they have a good chance to do really well in camp and you know, fight for a roster spot. I do think there's a good chance that both those guys, you know, could make the team or at least, you know, make a practice squad.
Another interesting player, simply because of who the Jets picked at number two overall, is Tristan Hoag, the offensive lineman from BYU. Had some injuries, but fairly productive in spots at BYU. Some people have asked whether or not he's going to have an easy ticket to the roster simply because he's friends with Zach Wilson. I doubt it, but if his data and analytics are strong, maybe that'll help him make his case when he gets out on the field. What do the data and analytics say about Tristan Hoag?
Well, in terms of his athleticism, you know, he's a below-average athlete overall, but he does have above-average speed. When it comes to the center position, it's probably the least athletic position in the NFL. You can get away with being a below-average athlete at center compared to guard and compared to tackle, just for the mere fact that you're in the middle of the defense. The only question that I have with him is because he has below average explosiveness and below average flexibility for his size, that can be a problem to a certain extent when you're talking about the center you know, of your offensive line. Does he have the potential to be a starter? I would say yes. Again, because center position is not one of those positions that needs great athleticism. But I also think that he doesn't quite have the elite athleticism to get it from the get-go. So, again, you're talking about a guy that I think does have a chance to compete, but I would be very surprised if he ended up becoming the day one starter long term.
Grant Hermans, the offensive lineman from Purdue, very large man. What did the data and analytics say about him?
Very large man, but not very athletic, but, you know, below average athlete overall. Now, these guys can work out. Most, like, really large tackles that have, you know, great length can work to a certain extent just because of how big they are. You know, there's more distance between them and the quarterback because of that size. So I think there is that potential there, but I would say for the most part, based on his overall data, you're looking at a, you know, more of a camp body than anything with him based on his athleticism.
He's not the only offensive lineman that they grabbed. We talked about a couple of others, and one of them is Teton Saltis, the offensive tackle from New Mexico. Do the data and analytics say more positive about him than they do about Mr. Hermans?
I would say yes. In terms of his overall athleticism, he had near elite speed for his size. He had a basically a 80 percentile speed score and has a starter profile. I would not be surprised if he ends up becoming a starting right guard at the next level. He has that sort of profile you're looking for in terms of a power kind of running through. Basically, get him out in space, get onto a linebacker. That's kind of what his profile says from an athleticism standpoint. So he's probably one of the better athletes that they took as a UDFA.
How about Milo Eifler, the linebacker from Illinois? What do the data and analytics say about him?
In terms of Eifler, above average athlete. He has above average explosiveness for his size, above average speed, average flexibility testing. So again, you're looking at a guy that's able to kind of blow stuff up in the middle of the field, but not necessarily able to hang as well in coverage. But in production-wise, it's about average. I think, again, more so a camp body guy, the typical UDFA, I don't want to say stereotypical, but, you know, a guy that has all the traits you're looking for to compete, but not necessarily somebody I think long-term becomes a starter.
At defensive back, the Jets grabbed a couple of guys as undrafted free agents, and we'll get to another big one later on. But first, Jordan Peters from Auburn. What do the data and analytics say about him?
Well, in terms of Jordan Peters, he has the same issues as his teammate Sherwood, who the Jets drafted in the fifth round. Good explosion testing, poor speed and flexibility, and production-wise, is kind of in the same boat as Sherwood. I think, again, these are guys that in the right situation, athletically speaking, because again, when it comes to the NFL, you're trying to find athletes to work in certain situations. You're trying to put them in the best position to succeed based on their athleticism traits. Peters is a guy that I think in terms of special teams, blocking punts, blocking kicks, those types of situations, he has the athleticism to be really decent in those situations because of his short area explosiveness. But if you're talking about him as a safety or as somebody that you want to put into coverage, not the best situation unless you're running kind of a zone situation. So, again, in terms of man-to-man, I think he's going to struggle a lot based on his lack of speed and flexibility. But if you put him in more of a zone, short area type of scheme, then you're looking at a guy that may have a little bit more success in that situation.
How about Parker Ferguson, the offensive lineman from Air Force?
Yeah, in terms of him, good athlete, starter profile, does not have elite athleticism traits of any kind. So he's not really in the 80 percentile in terms of his explosiveness, speed, or flexibility, but just a solid above average athlete. A little underweight just because when you're talking about guys from Air Force, Navy, or Army, you know, they can't get too big, you know, because they have to stay a certain weight due to the requirements of being in the services. But he's a guy that once he actually finishes his service, could end up becoming a decent all-around starter for you guys, if he is put in the right situation. So I think overall you're looking at a guy who more so is probably going to be a backup, but he does have at least enough on paper to be considered a starter based on historical data.
Last but not least, Isaiah Dunn, the cornerback from Oregon State. This is a player that the Jets spent a good amount of money on when you're talking about an undrafted free agent. They gave him the largest guarantee ever given to an undrafted cornerback. Was it worth it from the data and analytics standpoint?
I absolutely would say yes. When you look at his athleticism traits, he had near elite speed for his size, above average athleticism overall, and based on his production, it's a similar area as Caleb Fairley, you know, who was taken in the first round just from a production standpoint. So again, I'm not trying to say that Isaiah Dunn is Caleb Fairley, but I am saying that in terms of his athleticism traits, you're getting a guy that has the speed to play man, who also has the ability to affect the play in terms of pass selection markets here. He was 80-plus percentile in terms of, you know, making plays on the ball, you know, to break up passes in coverage, that's a good UDFA. I think overall, when you look at the undrafted free agents that the Jets targeted this year, a lot of times when you look at some teams in the UDFAs, you're looking at guys that are only going to be camp bodies. So they're guys that just are not athletic, they're not productive. But when you look at the Jets UDFAs, you're looking at a lot of guys that can compete, and some of these guys may even become long-term starters just based on their overall data profiles. So I would say, again, when you look at everything that the Jets did in terms of the undrafted free agent arena, they did pretty decent, especially, with a guy like Isaiah Dunn, Hamilcar Rashad Jr., and all the other, especially offensive linemen as well, decent all-around athletes. So I think when you look at that from that perspective, very good job for the Jets in terms of undrafted free agent.
So, Jim, looking at everything overall, when you take a look at who they picked in the early going, the first four picks that everybody seemed to like, and then a lot of those dart throws on day three on defense, and then even the undrafted free agents, a pattern seemed to have emerged, which is that the Jets were going for guys that have not necessarily elite athleticism, but at least some elite athletic traits, at least for the most part. And I know that's something that you like, and that's why you said you liked what they did with the undrafted free agents. Overall, what did you think? Did they ace the draft from a data and analytics standpoint?
Well, and from a data and analytics standpoint, I would say that when I went back and drafted all the teams, which I know draft dates are very controversial, but from my perspective, I'm basing it on historical data. So again, if you don't like my grades, blame past players, blame all the players that you missed on in the past, or hit on in the past, of course. But when you look at the Jets all around draft class, I graded them out to about 13 out of 32 teams. So they're very similar to what they did last year. Last year they were about 12 out of 32. So they're above average. They're above average in terms of their overall potential success rate. I think that this year, to me, again, and this is just from a number perspective, I think what lowers their overall success rate is just the fact that they took a lot of guys in day three. Day three, typically speaking, there's less chance of success in day three. It just is what it is. You're not going to hit that much in day three compared to day two and day one. But what I will say is when you look at the Jets in day one and day two, you got guys in Zach Wilson, Elijah Vera Tucker, and Elijah Moore. Those three players on paper have potential to be above average starters. So this is one of those draft classes where we might look back, and yes, when you look at day three, you might not like everybody selected, but the fact that you hit on those day one and day two players could be what makes this one of the better draft classes. So it remains to be seen, again, from an overall draft perspective, they're about 13 out of 32. But when you look at those three picks have chances to be above average starters. So again, we're talking about Pro Bowlers, all pro potential, top 10 overall player, top 5 overall player in the NFL. And from that perspective, that's what I really like about this Jets class, is that, yes, they're slightly above average, but they do have that potential long-term to potentially be one of the better draft classes this year just because of those top three picks.
If those top three picks could all become Pro Bowl-type players, I think a lot of Jets fans would be more than happy with that, regardless of what happens with the rest of these guys. Although, obviously, in a perfect world, you'd like to see a fair amount of them contribute. But if you could get three Pro Bowl type starters with those first three picks, then that right there makes the draft, no question. Jim Coburn, thank you so much for coming back on. Really appreciate it. The man who creates the only data and analytics draft guide out there. And if you want a copy of that, just to take a look and see all the things that we're talking about, and also a bunch of the other players from around the league. And I'm sure you can get a hold of previous draft guides that Jim has done if you want to take a look at his past work and look at the data on those guys. Jim, go ahead and tell them how they can do that, how they can become a patron of yours, and how they can help you build funds to do some more data and analytics-based research that you're looking to do.
Sure. You can go to my Patreon page at patreon.com/JCoburn. That's J-C-O-B-E-R-N. You can also go to my Twitter at Jimetrics, at J-I-M-E-T-R-I-C-S. And on my Twitter account, you can find the link to the 2021 NFL Draft Analytics Guide, the sixth annual 2021, well, at least NFL Analytics Guide overall, and take a look at all that data and all that information overall. But thanks for having me on, and I'm very excited for the Jets. When you look at those picks and everything else they're doing, I think this could be the draft that kind of helps get past all those past failures and memories.
Boy, we're all hoping so. So I hope you're right, Jim, and I appreciate you coming on. As always, make sure that you check out Jim's Patreon, his Twitter, and subscribe to his YouTube channel, too. You can find a link over on his Twitter as well. Again, that's at Jim Metrics, JimMetrics. And while you're subscribing to Jim's YouTube channel, subscribe to ours if you haven't done so already. Great videos up there. We've got some cool film breakdowns, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter. We've got Kendrick Green, the offensive lineman from Illinois. It's got 11,000 views. And you may be thinking to yourself, why would a video on Kendrick Green, the offensive lineman from Illinois who went in the third round, have 11,000 views from Jets fans? And the answer is, it doesn't have 11,000 views from Jets fans. Steelers fans got involved here because, as you know, the Steelers drafted him in the third round, so they probably went to YouTube, typed in Kendrick Green, and voila, Luke Grant's film breakdown pops up, but it's really good, and there's a reason why so many people have looked at it, so check that out and check out the prospects that the Jets drafted. There's some stuff on Zach Wilson up there as well, plus Kayla Pace has Pace's playbook, her commentaries, those are up there too, and we're going to be adding more and more and more, so make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. Check out everything we're doing at Play Like a Jet.com. Clayton Smarslock has a great article about wave number 3 or 4, whatever wave we're in right now, of free agency. Tommy Griffin Krantz with a good overview of the day 3 players that the Jets drafted, as well as the undrafted free agents that Jim and I just talked about. So head over there right now and head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review on the podcast if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.